with Doug's absence, we've actually got the privilege to listen to some of our congregants' testimony, and we're going to bring up Regina right now. I know for a fact Doug's been after her for a long time. So
a different doctor all of a sudden when I went in for my yearly, and he said, oh, you've been on birth control pills way too long. So he inserted this thing that was supposed to work, and long story short, I turned up pregnant, which I was surprised at. Went into the doctor's office with my husband, and he said, this is what's going to happen, and your chances are really not good at having a healthy baby. So without even opening my mouth, my husband said, well, let's do this DNC thing, which I had no idea what that meant, but so we did that. Was not a proud moment. Then the good news is I finally divorced that person because of adultery and a few other things, and can't say that I was too perfect either, because I decided that if that was good for him, I'll show him, and that didn't work either. And then he threatened my family and lots of other things. Then he decided what's going to happen is he'll buy a brand new house, and that'll make everything perfect. I'd never seen it, but long story short, he bought this wonderful little house, and it was okay. But bottom line, my mom and dad knew that I wasn't happy. I was afraid to get a divorce because nobody in my family had been divorced. But finally, when things got a little bit violent, I went and had it, got an emergency divorce, took a job, moved 5 hours away from Hutchinson. Didn't want a thing. I took over the house paints. I took everything. So he didn't have to have any responsibilities whatsoever. But as it turned out, he ends up moving to the same place where I'm at. Created a few problems for me with my job, but we got through all that, and I was very successful at the job that I had, and he finally got out of my life. One of the things that got me through all of this were my friends, because friends are God's way of taking care of us. We were born happy. We were supposed to stay happy, and I just kind of lost sight of that for a while. Now I've got a family that I dearly love. Could not have grown up without Red Skelton, Mickey Mouse, and this wonderful family that I've married into now, because I'd lost all my parents, all my brothers. I'm the oldest, and I was supposed to be the last one to go. And instead, I'm the only one on the planet. But like I said, my friends got me through it. They listened to all my complaining and moaning and groaning. I blamed all my problems on so many things, and I shouldn't have. It was my own fault. I could have change things, but I didn't. I was afraid. Well, Norman Rockwell said it best. What doesn't kill me makes me stronger. And there's this little girl with a black eye, all unkempt, but it was one of those situations where she stuck with it and got through a lot of things. I had a fabulous friend, and still do, thank goodness. Her name's Rachel, and thank God for her and her mom and dad, because without them, I would have never learned to water ski, and that was a bad story, I'll tell you. I learned to snow ski, and that was another tough situation. All the girls went skiing without me because I had to have 3 lessons instead of just 1. I was afraid of heights. Then my uncle took me to Oregon and showed me how to climb mountains with him. Then he wanted to go scuba diving, so that was another thing. It took me 2 years to finally get through my scuba diving. so that I could get a license so that I could go scuba diving. Once I got down there, it's fabulous, but you had to break through that fear. Friendship. It's not a big thing. It's a million little things. When my mom died, when all my family died, this was the little person that was there for me every single time. When I was doing hospice with mom and my brothers, she was always there. And her mom just said, here's the house, go as you want. Because I lived 5 hours or 4 hours away from where they were at. So they got me through it. So no matter how much money you have, it's not worth a ding dong. Unless you've got great friends. You got to learn to love your enemies because it confuses the heck out of them. And it does. And I finally learned to do that. It takes a lot of forgiveness. I think the toughest part is knowing that God forgave me. And sometimes I just don't get it. But He blessed my house. He blessed this family unit here. He blesses every place that we go, every person that we touch. You just got to keep the faith. You've been saved through faith, and don't ever lose it, no matter what. Because if you lose faith, you haven't got much. It's kind of like me and Mickey. He lost his nose, and I lost a few other things too, but we're still ticking. He's still a rock for me, as was Red Skelton and all the rest. So, a friend is one who knows you as you are, understands where you've been, accepts who you've become, and still gently invites you to grow. That's important. And fortunately, I've got a husband got to back up a second, because when he called Gerald Morris and said Regina's pregnant, I'm in my 50s, right? Regina's pregnant, I got to marry her. And there was this long silence. And finally, Gerald said, okay. And then Larry started laughing, and he said, well, it's like this. He said, she's insisting on a church wedding, and I'll tell you like this, Reverend, the shorter you make it, the more I'll pay you. So Colton walked me down the aisle, and he was only like 3 years old. And I told him, I said, you've got to walk very proud and kind of slow. And I've got the video. He did a fabulous job. We had a wonderful wedding. But one of the first things Larry told me was, if you got something to say, lady, you say it. Don't hide it. Don't be afraid of it or anything like this. Just keep that communication clear so that you understand where I'm coming from and I understand where you're coming from. That's very important for love and for good, strong relationship. And I'm still with that turkey today. He's been amazing. He hasn't always listened to me about what to do and not to do, but the man has been a rock for me in that he gave up 5 packs a day cigarettes. He stopped drinking tons of coffee. And he's starting to listen to me as far as getting his health back. So without going into all the hospital things that he avoided because of some of the stuff that we're doing. He's turned out to be the rock of my life. And the best part is, he's the oldest of 12 kids, so I now have sisters that I never had before. and some brothers, and they're all fantastic, even though they make fun of me because I'm the run of the bunch. Because they're all big frame people and very, very intelligent. You know, most of them opted out of having to go to high school and college because they had this great IQ. Not me. So I will suffice it to say to love, laughter, and happily ever after is where we want to be. And dear God, thanks for loving me so much. Thank you for listening, and I hope I've helped somebody a little bit further in their life.
I'm forgiven, you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you. Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you. In all I do, I honor you. In all I do, I honor you. You are my King. You are my King. Jesus, you.
We kidded Jim earlier. We said, Jim, 2 minutes. That's all you got? 2 minutes. And he said, oh, no. He said, introductions last longer than 2 minutes.
Yes, they do. Well, this is really interesting. We didn't plan this, folks, but I'm going to talk about fear, too, a little bit. And most of you know me. I'm Jim Correll, and for the last 5 years, I've had the privilege of playing in this praise band of this church. And that's really been good for me. I played earlier in my life, then I gave it up for 30 years, and then I took it up again 5 years ago. So that's really been good. Well, thank you. So I I grew up over in Western Kansas, that planet next door to us. And if you've been over there and spent any time over there, you'll know it's like a different planet compared to here in many ways. I ended up, after a lot of different things, working in the community college up in Independence, a secular environment, but I would like to make an attempt to show how frequently I see the Holy Spirit working within those that we serve in that capacity. And we serve people of all ages and from all walks of life. I didn't go to school to teach in a community college. After graduating from Garden City Community College in 1976, I started a photography business in Garden City instead of going on to finish my undergraduate degree. I moved to Wichita in the mid-80s, thinking I would do commercial photography work. That didn't work because nobody wanted to try the new guy. I ended up stumbling into Safe Light Auto Glass when they were in Wichita doing mostly accounting work. Then I ended up working in manufacturing in Wichita, and then to Seattle, where I met and married my current wife, Susan. And at the end of that stint, there was a manufacturing job in Seattle too at first. And then I went into a cushy internet job. If you remember when the internet came into full thing in the late 90s, and we thought everything was going to be internet. So I went to work for this internet company, and then Susan and I moved to Coffeyville. I had a remote job, and that was going to be the end of that. Susan was with Boeing. She retired. That was the plan. I had this cushy internet job where I could work from home and travel a little bit. And then many of you remember the internet bubble breaking in 2000. Well, that after 2 months, I got laid off, and I then did 2 years of hard time at the Amazon Fulfillment Center when it was here. And then after 2 years, I couldn't take that any longer. And I started a sharpening business in Coffeyville because nobody was doing that kind of work. And then in 2006, I saw an ad in the paper that the college in Independence was looking for somebody to start an entrepreneurship program. And I found out they didn't want it to be an academic program because that wouldn't have worked. I did finish my undergraduate degree in about 1990, I should say that, but it was in business, so it wasn't to teach. But they wanted it to be a non-academic program, so I decided they wanted a misfit like me who hadn't really done anything more than 5 or 6 years at a time in my whole adult life. And I began that from 2006 to 2011, trying to counsel people to start businesses by instilling fear in them, really. That's how we did it. We said, this is going to be really hard. You're going to have to work hours. You're going to have to pay all these taxes. You're going to have to borrow a bunch of money, and it probably won't work. And then we wondered why nobody wanted to start a business. So in 2011, I stumbled onto something called the Ice House Entrepreneurship Program, which was started by a recovering alcoholic named Gary Schoeniger. And he figured out during his recovery that peer-to-peer counseling or advising or whatever you want to call it was really more powerful than this hierarchical thing that we have where we say we're going to teach people something. That's a hierarchy. But if you can instill peer-to-peer learning, then that's really much better. And so that was an inspiring way to help people start businesses. So you get them inspired by listening to other people peer-to-peer and how they overcame the fear of starting a business. And it was really genius. I'm not sure he realized how genius it was. That was back in about 2010, so this hasn't been around for very long. He also realized that people have this innate desire to do for themselves, to be all they can be, and to really become happy. And Regina even talked about that, to really become happy people in their lives, serving others. And there's lots of things that thwart that, right? There's things that thwart it as we're coming through school, and that even continues into our adult life. And so in 2012, I started this class. I called it Entrepreneurial Mindset, which uses this peer-to-peer learning method. And I've been trying to get Doug to take that class for 5 years. And as he said a couple of weeks ago, he finally took it. And what we realize is that it's really a psychological thing. Figuring out how these entrepreneurs overcame their fears to start businesses, what do you know? It spills on to, into other areas of your life. And so pretty soon they became more self-confident in the way they lived the rest of their lives, whether it be personal, professional, whether they had a job or whether they started a business, and even spiritual, I think. And so it ends up that we do talk about starting businesses in this class, but we also, and Regina even talked about this, we even talk about choice over circumstances. So it's your choices in life that control how it's going to come out, not your circumstances. So when we blame our circumstances, we're not going to grow very much. And when we finally figure out that what we have in life is a choice, that really helps. And so this class ends up being all kinds of things like that, and not just about starting businesses. And so we do that with this peer-to-peer method. We listen to entrepreneurs on a national level. We listen to people like Brian Scudamore, who dropped out of high school because he had a learning disability and he was not able to learn very well. And so he dropped out of high school. And then later he decided, well, maybe I'd better go to college. Well, by then his parents were mad and they didn't think he'd finish, and they ended up being right, but they wouldn't pay for college. So he decided that he better figure out how he could earn some money to go to college. And he was standing in line at McDonald's, or in the drive-thru line, I guess, at McDonald's one day, and he saw an old beat-up pickup, just like we'd see around here, with plywood sides and spray painted on the side, Mark's Hauling, and then a phone number. And he thought, wow, I could probably do that. So he started what has become 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and if you've, before COVID at least, if you've traveled the cities, you've probably seen the trucks running around. So today it's a multinational, multi-million dollar business that started out with this Brian Scudamore buying a pickup and going around knocking door to door asking people if they wanted him to haul off their trash. And in the cities, here it's not such a big problem, but in the cities, if you have something big to get rid of, it's not so easy sometimes, right? So you end up having to hire somebody. We also, and Doug's mentioned this guy, Rodney Walker, a young African-American guy who grew up in 15 different foster homes in the south side of Chicago. And it was really through entrepreneurial mindset and a mentor in high school when he finally realized that he could make his own way and be successful. Before that, he says, I always knew there was a prosperous side of life and a not so prosperous side of life. And I was on the not so prosperous side, and I didn't know that there was a way to get out of that. But when he changed his mindset and had this mentor, he figured out that he could do his thing and make his way. Locally, we have many of you know Doug Mish, and most of you know his story, but in 2000, Jeep vehicles did not have armrests. And he and his wife, Gail, would drive their Jeeps out to Colorado, and they got tired of not having anything to put their elbows on, so he invented an armrest. And he happened to send it to a company called Quadratec, which was the major aftermarket Jeep product company in the United States, and they loved it. So over the years, until about 5 years ago when he sold the company, he sold thousands and thousands of these armrests around the world, not only on his own, but through this Quadratec company. Well, that helped him, all that helped him develop a sense, a self-confidence where he could have a happy life serving others, and that's the way he looks at it. Locally, another one would be Joanne Smith up in Independence. For 22 years, she worked in marketing and fundraising at Mercy Hospital. She just figured she would retire there. Everything was good until, whoops, one day in 2015, they announced that they were going to close the hospital. So she was scared. She didn't want to move. And there's not very many organizations around here that use full-time marketing people. And most of the people that do had somebody. So I got a hold of her and I twisted her arm in every way I could. And I said, you know, small businesses need what you can do and they will pay you to do it. So why don't you just think about going out on her own? And she kind of started that. She continued to look for something full-time, falsely thinking about corporate security. And one of her job counselors said, really, like the security you just experienced at Mercy Hospital? And so she's been doing that since about 2016. And now she's even purchased Southeast Kansas Living magazine. If any of you have seen that, it's a very high quality magazine. that it's kind of a tourist thing, but she's trying to turn it into a more of a feature type of magazine. But she's so busy, I can barely even get her to come to class and talk to people. So she also had to overcome the fear, a lot of fear. And most of these people say they still get scared, but they've got the confidence to overcome that and keep going. So in this last in last Thursday's class, which Doug was not at because he had to attend to this family business, we took a consensus among the 8 or 10 mostly adults that are in that class about the barriers to success, not only in entrepreneurship, but just success in general. And all of us agreed that fear was the biggest one. Overcoming fear is bigger than money or anything else, because if you overcome that fear, then you can deal with everything else. And Doug has talked about this before, but I don't understand the triune God very well. We always hear about it, the three in one, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. None of us can understand that very good, but I do believe that the Holy Spirit is the entity that can come into people's lives and change things around for them. And so we launched Fab Lab ICC in 2014 as a place where people, all kinds of people, community members, old, young, students, young people, the whole thing, can come in and learn how to make things that they never thought they'd be able to make. And what do you know? We found out that the act of making things and learning how to do things that you don't know how to do, that also increases this self-confidence. It helps you overcome fear. And I can tell you that when we bring young kids in, a lot of middle school kids, the first thing that we have to do is get them over their fear of trying something new. Because they've been conditioned in school that there's one way to do things, and if you don't get it right, you're wrong. And they've been led to believe that that's kind of failure. And so what we tell them is making mistakes and screwing things up and learning what to do to fix it is a much better way of learning than if you just read in a book or had some teacher tell you. So that's sort of a peer-to-peer way too. So I started believing that I was seeing the Holy Spirit enter these people as they learn to do these things and as they see their self-confidence raise. I've been in a session where a 50-year-old woman used a hand drill for the first time in her life because her husband had always done all that for her. She almost came to tears, and that's a big thing. Now she's got the confidence to use a hand drill if she needs to. So that's just another way to overcome fear. So today, even during COVID, we saw several people come in, but we see dozens and dozens and even low hundreds of people come in to the Fab Lab each year. And we combine this entrepreneurial mindset thing with the idea that you can learn how to do things that you didn't know how to do before. And it's very powerful. Some of you know about this middle school girl STEM camp that we have. We just had our third one. Verizon has a vision for that, and they want to give girls, especially in poverty, a different vision of what their future can look like. And so it's a 3-week day camp where they come in every day and they do some fun, like day camp arts and crafts type stuff. We teach them about entrepreneurial mindset, which the way we do it, it's all about solving problems for others, and that the best way to live a happy life is to learn how to serve others by solving their problems, right? So whether you're going to go to work for somebody else or go out on your own and have a business, you're supposed to be solving problems for other people. So Verizon pays for all of this, and it's a lot. The girls don't have to pay anything. We hire buses, we hire teachers, we feed them food, and it's really just to give them a different future of what our vision of what their future might be. So all of this overcoming of fears, as I said, is kind of, I see it as a way that we can help induce the Holy Spirit in some of these people that might not go to church or might not have seen it. So I now believe that my 35 years of varied experience is God's way of leading me to do what I'm doing today. So that's kind of my testimony, a little bit different, but it's very good to go to work and do that every day.
As we open the prayer rails, we just want to pray to the Lord. Father, we just, first and foremost, we want to lift Doug and his family up to you, Lord, as they're going through their grief, Father. We just pray that you touch them and calm their fears and soothe their hearts, Father. We just pray this to the Almighty God. Father, we just lift this congregation that when we leave here today, Father, that we spread your word. Father, we just pray that we keep what's important on our hearts and block out all the negativity. As we all know, Father, right now is we just full of negativity, Father. We just pray that you come into each and every one of us, Father, and we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. More than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, than the next heartbeat, more than anything. And Lord, as time goes by, I'll be by your side, 'cause I never want to go back to my old life. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more than ever before. I need you, Lord. I need you, Father, as we dismiss, we just pray that we keep everybody safe, Father, on this Labor Day weekend, Lord. We just pray that you just lift up Grace Fellowship Church, Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.